As I said over and over, one of the biggest problems, not the biggest problem, in the development of what came to be called the Jesus movement, was the question, who is a real Jew? The Jews that accepted Jesus as Messiah or the Jews that did not? Now, Jesus died, let's say, around 29, and Matthew was written around 70. So that argument had been roiling over and over and over. All you had to do was read the letter to the Galatians, or read any of Paul, the earliest of the Christian writers, and he's constantly addressing this problem. So Matthew took the bull by the horns and created this set of stories. You know, so you heard from the prophet the gifts of frankincense and gold. Well, Matthew just grabbed onto that and so created these people. They weren't kings, you know, they were wise men. So they brought gifts of frankincense and gold and all kinds of other stuff. And so, strangely enough, the Gospel of Matthew is the most Jewish and the most anti-Jewish of the four Gospels. Trying to make the point again that only those Jews who accepted Jesus as Messiah were real Jews, and the other Jews were phony Jews. So you have, if you remember in the Passion narrative, that terrifying statement from the Jews, "His blood be on us and on our children." Which, of course, Matthew made up to drive this point home as ferociously as possible. So you get over and over, it's a refrain in Matthew, "Thus were fulfilled the words of the prophet," like we saw in this little reading today. And what Matthew did, of course, was totally distort the meaning of prophet as it was understood in Judaism, which was not a predictor, and then seconded all the prophetic writings, or many of them, to describe Jesus. In fact, in one case, in the early chapters, he even made up a prophecy, and nobody's ever been able to find any place in the Hebrew Bible. So intent was he on driving this point home with the greatest possible force. So what is the issue, really? For the Jews at the time of Jesus, there are two kinds of people, just like for the Irish today, there are two kinds of people. There are the Irish and those who wish to be Irish, and or there are Jews and those who wish to be Jews. Well, I'm not so sure they wish to be Jews, but clearly the Jews divided that boundary in the most decisive and clear way. And you know, those of us who grew up being taught as dogma that there is no salvation outside the Roman Church should not be too surprised at this arrogance and narrowness and all this nonsense. But the point of the Epiphany, which just means a revelation, is that this promise that pervades the prophetic teaching, that he shall be a light of revelation to the non-Jews, to the Gentiles, you know, over and over and over, that's said in Isaiah and Jeremiah and virtually all the prophets, that this man is God's agent for the salvation of everybody, not just of the Jews. Which, of course, caused a great furor in the early Jesus movement. Big fights broke out until the Romans came in and knocked down Jerusalem so that the game was over and nobody left to fight. Well, there's Masada, but we don't have to go into that. So the revelation is this counter indication that God is absolutely concerned about the salvation of everybody, you know? Everybody. And that's supposed to be the mission that we Roman Christians are supposed to expose, manifest in the world. You know, we crawl out happily from the papacy of Cardinal Ratzinger and John Paul II, who are constantly drawing lines. You're in, you're out, you're in, you're out. And then we get this crazy new Argentinian who marries all kinds of people who've been living in sin. You know? who washes the feet of some Muslim lady on Holy Thursday, for God's sake. So one of the many beauties, to my mind, of Francis is precisely he is manifesting this absolutely non-exclusive sense of who Jesus was, of what Jesus was about, that Jesus was there for everybody. And that's all nice history, you know. But all you have to do is look at the world today. It's not just the Sunnis and the Shias who are happily shooting each other. Northern Ireland, Southern Ireland, my God, the list of internal conflicts goes on eternally, it would seem. So where does this land for us? I mean, it's all very interesting to know all this history and blah, 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 blah. But where does this land for us? Well, it raises the question of our own exclusiveness, it seems to me. At least it does that for me. Whom am I really ready to exclude, to count as beneath concern, even as an object of contempt? This is the rubbies and the druggies on Dundas Street in London, Ontario, with which I've had a fair amount of experience, and I just assume dismiss them out of court. I mean, they're useless. They're warts on the face of humanity. Well, the problem is not in them, the problem is in us, and the problem is, in, even more importantly, in the social conditions of our society, the true, nor strong and free, where we do exclude those people. You know, they shut down LPH, or going to shut down LPH so we can liberate all the mentally disturbed people and put them on the street, and then the cops have a field day, of course, putting them in the pokey. So we are anything but free of that bias to promote ourselves and our group. So the Feast of the Epiphany is simply a reminder that it's constantly needed. I mean, this reading has been used for centuries in the church, of our own narrowness, of our own temptation to retreat into a safe, comfortable zone, where everybody I see looks like me, thinks like me, lives like me. And to see this as a judgment on all of that stuff. So to know that Jesus, who appeared to these pagans, I mean, there was no appearance and all that stuff, but that Matthew makes this story very forceful. And you notice, he also makes Herod, the king of the Jews, nervous as heck, who wants to go kill this baby. Which mercifully didn't happen either, so the massacre, the innocence is also a Matthean creation. But you see how hard Matthew was driving this thing. Herod, the king of the Jews, is nervous as heck at the thought, and all Jerusalem. You know, that Greek word pan is very important. All Jerusalem was nervous, because this is going to discredit them. Well, as I said, it seems to me the impulse is not dead among us, and we who have labored under that no salvation outside the church, we have a hard time calling out from under that. But we must, and that's what this feast calls us to.